Hello, and welcome to CIPFA Speaks, the podcast for professionals in public finance. Today we're talking about CIPFA's new consultation on the Prudential Code, as well as CIPFA's award-winning Achieving Finance Excellence in Policing program. We'll kick off this episode speaking to Richard Lloyd Biffle, CIPFA's new Senior Technical Manager, who joined me earlier in the week to discuss the new consultation.
Thanks for joining me today, Richard.
Thank you for having me back on.
You've changed roles since you were last on the podcast. Can you tell our listeners what you're doing with CIPFA these days?
Yes, no problem. Last time I was on, I'd just left Flintshire County Council in North Wales and joined CIPFA as the Pensions and Treasury Advisor. Since the start of the year, I've moved into my new role as Senior Technical Manager. I'm now privileged to manage our excellent technical team at CIPFA, who support public services with the latest policy and technical challenges. I'm very much enjoying the new role.
Good to hear. Now, before we get into the weeds on the Prudential Code consultation, can you give me some background on the code and the Prudential framework? How long has it been around? What's its original aim, etc.?
Absolutely. The Prudential Code was first introduced back in 2004. Before this system was introduced, long before my own career in public services, local authorities in England and Wales were limited in their borrowing by a system of credit approvals rather than the current system that we've become accustomed to today and are very privileged to work under, which is local decisions that are made on their capital financing needs. The introduction of the Prudential Framework was born originally from CIPFA and local authorities petitioning the government to allow local authorities as mature organisations to set their own borrowing limits based on a prudent assessment of the consequences of financing expenditure over the period it would benefit from those assets. The government heard this, and the new system was introduced under the Local Government Act of 2003. It was a very revolutionary move. The system brought about freedoms which were reliant on professional self-management, very, very welcomed by the sector at the time, and they continue to enjoy them to this day. CIPFA's position in this, we form part of the regulatory framework with both the Prudential and the Treasury Management Codes specified in the Capital Financing Regulations as statutory codes, which local authorities must have regard to. We see this very much as a privilege to be part of the framework, and as guardians of the Prudential Code, believe it's something to be protected if we want to see the freedoms and local decision-making protected that we enjoy from this framework. Also, on another note, CIPFA also has a role to play in terms of professional regulation. Both of these professional codes are driven by professional practice and the high standards of work that are delivered by local authority professionals day-to-day, by promoting effective capital planning governance through a lot of the provisions within the code. And for a very, very long time, this has worked perfectly fine for local authorities, but we've seen the boundaries of the code pushed and its provisions misinterpreted.
So what's changed that spurred CIPFA to publish the consultation and the code? You mentioned that, you know, some boundaries had been pushed.
So both codes are kept under a continual review to ensure that they're meeting the demands of the sector and how modern government operates. However, we can see that the system and the provisions of the code have been pushed lately by the practices of a small number of local authorities. We can see this clearly from the outcomes of the NAO report and the PAC committee report. And recommendation of the PAC committee report in July 2020 was that the Prudential framework should be reviewed. CIPFA is, of course, dedicated to delivering this commitment, which we've seen through the issue of the two consultations, to ensure that the code and its objectives continue to support borrowing and capital investment in the modern era and ensure that risks are taken with public money are robustly managed and decisions are made with appropriate governance. But overall, this was one of the major drivers for our consultations on the Prudential and Treasury Management Codes, and we believe that both consultations will be subject to substantial interest from the sector.
And so what impact do you think these changes will have?
I think these changes will have quite a significant impact to the sector in a very positive way. An important fundamental of the framework is that local authorities must not borrow more than in advance of needs purely to profit from the investment of extra sums borrowed. This is something that has been quite consistent through previous iterations of the code. And we're not looking to substantially change this wording that we've got within the codes, but we want to clarify this, provide practical explanation for how this is applied at a local level. So, for example, we understand that with regeneration projects, for them to really wash their own face, there often is a commercial element, but this should be incidental to the capital investment. We want to really refocus on what the Prudential Code is originally intended for, and this is for local authorities to deliver services and to invest in services and have objectives that are aligned to their core statutory business. since the last time the Prudential Code was reviewed in 2017. Over those 3 years, around $6.6 billion was spent by councils on commercial properties, with around $2.3 on that on retail acquisitions. If we look at that in terms of how much more that was than the preceding 3 years, that was 14.4 more times on commercial property. A huge amount of public expenditure has gone into commercial investment. I think this is really a sign that the last proposed changes of the Prudential Code didn't do enough to dampen the appetite to invest in commercial property. We did provide further guidance in the last iteration, but this has not prevented a minority of those councils taking on disproportionate levels of commercial debt and really pushing the boundaries of that code and misinterpreting its provisions. Really, what we want to focus on is the protection of public funds and local decision making. And without strengthening this code, this is where those expanded provisions and the clarifications come into. Without this, the system is really under risk of more government intervention. And it also brings into line with other changes and government interventions we've seen, such as changes to PWRB lending terms.
Do you think the proposal in any way is going too far, or maybe perhaps not even far enough?
I think the proposals are sufficient in terms of what we've set out. As I've said, it's not really changing the underlying statutory provision of the code or trying to go above the remit of our place in the prudential framework. This is really to bring it into line with, as we say, with the PWRB, and to really add more clarification where behaviours and from a minority of local authorities have tried to push the provisions of the code. This is really to just add clarification. They're not adding anything new in particular to the code in terms of expanding that definition that we see in paragraph 45, but we're also strengthening different aspects of the code as well, making sure that projects are sustainable and that capital expenditures follows corporate objectives. And also we want to have a greater focus on affordability. So you'll see new prudential indicators which have been suggested within there to really aid local authorities' assessments of affordability.
Turning the focus a little bit, SIPA is also consulting at the same time on the Treasury Management Code. So can you provide a little bit of an overview of those key proposals?
Yeah, sure, Cal, absolutely. The three key proposals that I'll pull out from the Treasury Management Code consultation. Firstly, we've included a new treasury management policy and practice requirement to address environmental, social and governance risks. And what that means in practical terms is that when local authorities are formulating their strategies, they'll now be required to have a formal policy to address counterparty risks, and normally the principles of the Treasury Management Code to look at security, liquidity and then yield. Now they will be considering ESG almost as a fourth consideration. So, for example, when a local authority is investing with a high street bank, they should really consider any demerit behaviours that have been taken on by that bank, such as if they've been involved in any equal pay scandals, what's the composition of their board, and what have they done in terms of commitments to net carbon neutrality. Lots of considerations to take. The second key proposal within the Treasury Management consultation is we're looking at the governance around Treasury management. We have put in a recommendation within guidance, not a requirement, to potentially consider to have a separate board to scrutinise Treasury management activity. This would bring a number of benefits because often we see that responsibility for scrutiny of the Treasury management function is delegated to audit committees. Audit committees, as we're seeing, have got increasingly large agendas. And by having a separate committee, there could potentially be more opportunity with a smaller agenda to have a focus group of members who would be able to give the appropriate amount of time and attention to looking at these issues. And also it could form an opportunity to co-opt members with the relevant experience onto this board who have potentially specific treasury management experience. The third proposal that we want to look at is around knowledge and skills. We want to create in our guidance a benchmark of knowledge and skills to support local authorities with their training plans, policies, and really creating a bit of a roadmap for the various key roles within Treasury for local authorities to aspire to. This is really driven by a number of factors. We have seen an increasing amount of complex transactions within local authorities that really local authorities need to ensure they have the in-house knowledge and skills and not rely on their advisors. They need to demonstrate that they have fully understood any advice, so they need to make sure sure that if they're engaging in complex transactions, they have the requisite knowledge and skills to manage the risk. And also with legislation such as MiFID II that came in a couple of years ago, ensuring that there's a robust framework for compliance with that legislation.
Wow, so it's a really comprehensive consultation then if it's ESG, governance, and knowledge and skills.
Absolutely. We'd recommend if anyone is going to respond to one that they respond to both, as the proposals are very much linked.
And so both consultations are currently open?
Absolutely. Consultations are open for response. The closing date for the responses is the 12th of April 2021. And if you'd like to respond, you can email a response to policy.technical@sipfa.org. And we hope to publish the revised code towards the end of the year and implement in 21-22 financial year.
Perfect. Thanks so much for the time, Richard.
Thanks very much, Cal.
Thanks again to Richard for joining us this week. And just a reminder for any interested listeners, responses to both consultations must be submitted by April 12, 2021. We're also joined this week by Amy Britson and Neil Chamberlain to discuss the latest on SIPFA's AFEP program. Now over to my colleague Allison Kroll, who joined them for the interview.
Hi, everyone. I am Allison Kroll, and on today's episode, we are talking all things AFEP, or SIPFA's Achieving Finance Excellence in Policing program. To help us discuss this, we are joined by Amy Britson and Neil Chamberlain, who I will now ask to introduce themselves. Amy, would you like to go first?
Yeah, great. Hi, everybody. So Amy, nice to meet you all virtually. So I work here at SIPFA. I'm one of the senior business development managers, but have been overseeing the AFEP program since its start back in 2018-19. And here we are today with the next iteration of the program. So yes, nice to meet you all.
So hi, I'm Neil Chamberlain. I'm Director of Commercial Services at West Midlands Police. Long career in public sector finance, stretching back far longer than I can imagine, really. I think, as Amy said, really, I think part of the work that we've been doing over the last few years is developing the support to UK policing, and SIPFA have been absolutely amazing in this. And hopefully we can talk through the progress we've made so far and what's to come. So really glad to be with you today.
Great. Okay, so Neil, could you start off by telling us some of the key financial management challenges that are currently facing police?
Oh, that's a big question. I think obviously, given where we are now, the end of March, still talking about the pandemic and the impact that's had both personally and professionally on ourselves and our teams. I think it's vitally important that from a financial management perspective, all organisations, but I guess predominantly in UK policing, we are looking to plan for the future and plan the exit strategy, if you like, from the pandemic, and there's still a great deal of uncertainty around that. So for me, that's the major factor. It's the medium-term financial planning, you know, what's going to come over the next year, but predominantly how do we support our teams and support ourselves and our peers in a really, really difficult time to still be able to perform to the best of their ability, still provide that excellent service when they are suffering, as I said, with some personal impacts as well. There are still financial pressures within the sector. There's really encouraging signs from both Home Office and Treasury about uplift of 20,000 officers over a three-year period, which has been really well received across UK policing, and fantastic opportunity, I think, for forces to provide a better service. In terms of financial perspective, though, there are still financial pressures that are underlying, and our battle with, collaboratively, I should say, battle with Home Office and Treasury to understand the cost to UK policing and also the future funding. So lots going on. Some of it is in the here and now, some of it is in the next couple of years. So we're always keeping a mindful eye on what we're dealing with today, but also what's on the horizon. So lots of financial challenges, really.
Amy, where does AFEP fit into this picture? And for those who haven't heard of the program, could you tell us more about it?
All right. Well, I think so much commonality between what Neil's just referenced there and the reason for AFEP in itself. So we designed the program for police finance with police finance. So it's very much a joint collaboration. So it was driven out of and by, you know, the MPCC Finance Coordinating Committee. And it's aimed at bringing forces together on that national level, building on national capacity, but providing that local support. And as Neil said, enabling teams to stay in control of their financial strategy and remaining resilient. So they're real key features here. The programme supports forces across the UK. It enables them to address the need and to review on financial management. AFEP provides, I'd say, a wide variety of support. So staff development, data management, financial management, all within one service. The programme has just quickly exceeded the expectations, what we had against our original vision. So evidence-based collaborative police finance service, it's just taken on its own pace. And I think tying back in with Neil's comments, the AFET programme provides support and looks at reform, enhances public financial management and efficiency within policing. So not only supporting police forces and PCCs, but aligning to the Home Office's agenda of supporting collaboration, driving efficiencies and effective practice.
Neil, your organisation participated in AFEP 1 over this past year. Could you describe your experience?
Yeah, of course, Alison. I guess from my perspective, you know, so West Midlands Police is probably the second largest force in the country behind the Met. I've always been a massive advocate for professional development within public finance. And as Amy can testament, I probably bumped into her probably about 3 or 4 years ago now at a CITFA conference. And I was quite keen to point out my experience in local government and my experience in policing was completely different in terms of professional development and support. And we really thought there was a massive opportunity for CITFA to step into that space. I'm delighted to say that the work that we've been doing over the last 2 years, and that predominantly is down to Amy and the team, has really developed a fantastic product. And as Amy said, far exceeds, I guess, the original expectations about what we were likely to see. But AFEP 1, for me, from a West Midlands perspective, and particularly, I guess, as a director of finance, is such a broad and varied opportunity and has provided lots of different elements. A few of those, for an example, we did the financial management capability review as a force that really gave us an independent review of our finance function, set the tone and ambition for what we're going to do going forward, highlighted some areas of really good practice, but also pointed us in the direction of where we can do more, which is fantastic, and gave us that independent review, which I think was really useful. We've been engaged with the Future Leaders Academy, so obviously looking at our directors of the future and making sure that we've got a succession plan in place. We're giving those individuals the awareness and understanding of what is required from them in a structured and supportive way. We've engaged with the Asset Management Review, which has given us an insight into how we use our assets, and other forces have done that, I know. We've also engaged with some separate training with CITFA, which is outside of the AFEP program, and one thing's led to another, really, and we've really boosted our finance business partner offer to the force. And personally, from a CFO perspective, I think the support that's been provided to those senior leaders, and let's not forget, you know, there are 43 forces. Each of those CFOs have quite a senior role, and my force has a revenue budget of around about 600 million. So it's not a small organisation, and these roles are very, very important nationally. It's given us that opportunity, I think, to get together as a team and a group of peers, to be supportive but challenging to each other, to share good practice, to engage in retreats and workshops. And that sort of experience has been invaluable, really. You know, creating networks is often talked about as being almost a byproduct, but having the ability to be able to take time out of the day job and sit and think about challenges that we're facing, sharing those challenges and also helping each other to develop solutions has been absolutely amazing, really. I think finally, this sort of byproduct, if you like, of the AFEP programme is that CITFA has now provided some professional qualification scholarships to UK policing, and certainly in West Midlands Police, we've been very, very lucky to have a couple of our candidates approved for that. So in summary, our experience has been absolutely amazing. The last 2 years have been a real journey, and they've developed, and as Amy points out quite rightfully, this has been developed with policing, for policing. So we've had a real strong input into the design. It's been a very broad, very varied programme, and invaluable to me as a leader and to my team. For me at this time, it really shows a strong commitment to our teams and individuals of how dedicated we are to their individual professional development and to driving that forward in the future. So fantastic start, and we're really excited about year two.
Great, excellent. Thanks for sharing some of your experiences. And Amy, could you go into greater detail about what services are provided throughout the programme?
Yeah, of course. Neil's touched upon quite a few elements there, but I'll try and, you know, break it down underneath the themes of the programme. But just to start off, I think it's clear to state and point out that this achievement of AFEP so far and then moving into the next 2 year programme wouldn't have been possible without the collaboration. So without that support from the sector as a whole, you know, if three forces had agreed to go ahead and to join in and look at where this could go, I think we would have got somewhere, but we wouldn't have had the national impact that we've got now. So again, it's very clear to point out that the success of this happening is because everybody has bought into this together and driven it with their personal commitment for themselves, their organisations and their teams, as Neil has said. So then going into the AFEP 1 and what we delivered, it was broken down into the three streams. So financial management, data and people. And then, as we've just mentioned, we've had AFEP 2 endorsed, so approved by our external stakeholders and all the groups that we work with. So PACT, MPCC, etc. We've received acknowledgements from the Home Office and the Police Chiefs Council. So we're very excited to see where the next iteration of the programme will be running to, shall we say, taking another pace of its own. And that begins from April this year. So AFEP 1, like I said, mentioned the three streams. So under the FM financial management stream, AFEP gave the sector a unique comprehensive assessment. So these were the FMCR assessments of financial management and policing. They ended up with a local improvement plan for forces. So each of the members had that, an action plan in effect. We then, as CITFA, brought this information together. They created a national report, shone a light on areas of best practice, and then shaped that national roadmap for police finance across the UK. The FM stream also allowed forces to access technical events through our police and finance network and publications and our TIS online information services also. People stream, so Neil's touched on that in terms of the academies. So we actually supported over 75 delegates through training academies and a future leader development programme to support that next generation of police finance to move forward, alongside the current CFOs, the police and PCC FD CFOs, being able to attend their own strategic development course. So having that safe space, that engagement and interaction for them to continue their skills and professional development throughout their current careers. Under the people stream, we also provided police finance conferences. So these were annual events to enable that touch point for all police CFOs and PCCs to be able to come together and supporting the opportunity for strategic debates, national topics, reviews, discussions, presentations, etc. So again, really widening that peer support network. I think on the challenges facing police finance, the AFEP complements the national peer support network and the setup of the subgroups within the programme. The subgroups allow the members to come together and discuss key topics, sharing of best practice, information, and addressing areas for development within the sector, but it was so that they could drive that themselves. So again, touching back to Neil's comments, it was very much driven from the members themselves to keep the momentum moving forward. So again, under the people stream, it was really, really helpful to have these subgroups in place. Data stream, well, what can I say? It's just resulted in this fantastic data platform. So it currently uses the CITFA Stats Plus data platform, but within the programme, we created 12 bespoke data dashboards for policing finance. That was collated via CITFA, the AFEP members, and highlights these 12 topics specifically. And this interactive dashboard is basically enabling forces and PCCs to highlight, overlay, compare, review, and in turn has improved, I'm assuming, and also have been told and have seen its decision-making abilities. It's enabled forces to understand spending, performance, look at their relation to others and produce their own analysis. So the data exercise has never been undertaken before on this scale, and the outputs have just been absolutely fantastic to see. So people, data and financial management were the three themes of the programme, but as you can hear, it includes quite a lot.
Great. Thank you, Amy. Neil, earlier you mentioned some of the benefits of participating in the program, but was there any specific part of it that was most helpful for you? And what did you think about the dashboards and the quality of the data provided that Amy just mentioned?
Well, as Amy sort of highlighted, there's so much on offer over AFEP 1. You know, and reflecting on that question, it's difficult to point out one area that was particularly useful more than others, because all of those offers that were made through CITFA and from the subgroups have all contributed to the way that we work. You know, we wouldn't have done it, we wouldn't have embarked on this, and if it wasn't going to add value to the way we work, it really has helped us to sort of view and plan for the future, not just in finance teams. I think it's really keen to sort talk about this isn't about how it affects the finance team, it's about how it affects the organization in its totality. So a lot of the work we've been doing is around productivity and working with other organisations about how can we build more effective, making the best use of our resources, and all forces are faced with the same challenge. I think the data that we hold within forces is taking us so far, but the data that's been provided through the technical group that Amy's talked about really takes it to another level. And I think, if I'm brutally honest, we weren't very quick as a force to sort of maximise that, but we've certainly grasped it over the last sort of 12 months or so, and we will help to sort of use that data for our baselining, for our benchmarking, to provide those comparisons, to add to the management information we've already got within the force, to help those big business decisions we are trying to make. It'll be a big part of the way we plan going forward. And financial data and comparative data is always very, very useful. We will help the team as well continually develop and maximise that and to expand its use and make sure that, as Amy said, there was 12 work streams from the start of the data exercise. That will continue to develop and that will be to the great benefit of other forces. I think from a personal perspective, I've said before, the CFO workshops were just a fantastic opportunity to be able to talk to other CFOs or budding CFOs and just share some of that experience. I'm really conscious, as again, there's a small cohort and small teams across UK policing that we really are impactful as much as we can be in supporting those individuals in quite stressful roles, but also making sure they're armed with the right data, the right support, the right peer group challenge, if you like, just to be able to make the right decisions at the right time and share some of those experiences. I'm really mindful that we do have a number of our CFOs who can potentially retire at different times, and we need to make sure we are passing on their experience and knowledge. And this really gives us the opportunity to facilitate that cross-working and people working together, sharing information, sharing knowledge, sharing experience. And you can't really put a price on that. And it really has helped us, I think, develop as a peer group of CFOs. So really, really proud of what we've achieved.
And do you have any other advice for those who may be considering participating in AFEP 2?
I think I'd probably turn that question around, Alison, and say, why wouldn't you want to be involved?
Right.
you know, there really is, you know, there's so many forces that have engaged in AFEP 1. As Amy said, the offer was fantastic in the AFEP 1. It has developed and will continue to be developed and improved for AFEP 2. It's designed to give us topical information, support, you know, whether it be technical or professional or personal, to deal with what's coming. Lots of forces are under scrutiny at the moment to give examples and evidence of where they're using best use of resources, where they're being efficient, and having a strong financial management, both teams and strategy as an organisation, is vital to that. You'll benefit from the insights, both the data and the experience gives you. It's an opportunity to share best practice. And I will say this again, you know, we are quite a small community and we're all faced with very similar issues. So getting together and sharing that experience and best practice is vitally important. You'll be able to develop your teams, you'll be able to develop those individuals. And more importantly, I think you'll raise the standard of financial support, both within your own force, but also across UK policing.
Thank you. And Amy, in what ways will AFEP 2 differ from AFEP 1?
Yes, so we're continuing this journey, as Neil said. You know, it's a question of, I think, why wouldn't you come on board because of what's been achieved so far and what we're going to be supporting the forces and PCs in the next iteration of the programme. I still think back to, you know, Neil's reference before at conference, you know, I think about 4 years ago where the initial discussions were happening and I think conversations were starting to take a pace internally at CIPFA and the relevant stakeholder groups. And to look at the journey we've all come on now, to sitting here and be talking about AFEP 2 is actually quite phenomenal. So yeah, AFEP 2, we continuation of the achievements so far. The next 2 year programme will be focusing on people as the mainstream. So we'll still be delivering on data and financial management. So we'll be adding on to the data streams. A new 5 data topics will be built upon the 12 existing. Financial management action plans and the progression will still be continued. But I think effective financial management has always been built on planning for the long term. So forces need the resilience to deliver savings while still providing services to the community. I think with resources becoming scarcer, then with the increasing pressures and demands on services as well, it just makes for such a challenging environment to ensure that resources are effectively targeted, I think, for forces at the moment. So again, by, I think, agreeing with Neil's comments before, by developing the talent and the skills within the teams, it's equally important to see how we can really best invest in that time and resource. So AFEP 2 will provide that mattress of support for finance and the wider organisation. That's key. It's not just a key finance function here. We're looking at the wider organisation this time. So within policing, to expand on financial literacy, the understanding, the culture across the teams. So the programme offers forces that multi-layered training and development programme here. E-learning, trainer-led sessions, strategic workshops for the CFOs. So they'll be led by CIPFA's leading advisors. We've got external industry professionals coming in. We'll continue to build on the next generation of financial leaders because that's imperative. The academies this time, though, will build on management skills rather than just the financial management elements. So looking at people, self, teams. As we all know, you can do what you're trained to do, but managing people is a whole different ball game. So hopefully we can give that support there. I've touched on data. So as I've said, you know, we'll be increasing the data dashboards there and the existing 12 with 5 new topics. And we'll be also supporting advisory, so consultancy help from SIPFA across all areas of our networks and our specialities to ensure that forces have that access to build on their action plans. And by working with the programme partners to assist in the creation of this programme, but it's more about creating the long-term strategy of support within the police sector so it can work towards that achieving financial sustainability. It can't be achieved by remaining static. It's an ongoing process. So this programme is just the positive course of action that will ultimately afford, I think, participants the opportunity to drive and enforce that change themselves to ensure a favourable outcome, aligning visions, the needs and expectations that are put upon policing at the moment. So the original remit of AFEP, it will never change. And if people want to know more about the programme, they can contact myself directly if they want to engage. Come through to us at SIPFA via our AFEP webpage or the customer services contact details also.
You've been listening to SIPFA Speaks. Thanks again to Amy and Neil for joining us. That's all we have time for today. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we'll see you again next time.